come to you today asking that you make us a sanctuary that's pure and holy. God, make us a sanctuary that's pure and holy, pleasing in your sight. It's only by your grace and it's only by your blood. But God, I'm asking today that every individual that's coming here today, I don't care what sin they did right before they came or what they did last night, it's your grace and your mercy that covers us and makes us pure and holy. So God, I'm asking, I'm petitioning that you make us pure and holy. So Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. That's our prayer today, God. That's my prayer today. For every spot and wrinkle I come today with my brothers and sisters, asking that you make us pure and holy. That is something that isn't out of reach, but it's something that we find in you. It's something that we find when we rest in you. Teach us, God. Allow your Holy Spirit to teach us. Teach us how to move. Teach us how to walk. Teach us how to talk. Jesus. We give it to you, God. Teach us, Jesus. I don't know what God is doing or what he's stirring inside of you today. But God will meet you right where you are. And he will teach you and reveal all things that you need to know and all things that you need to do. The church isn't this place where we have to get ourselves together before we get here and all that. But when we ask God to reveal himself to us, to show us the way, to show us how to walk, show us how to talk, teach us how to pray. When we ask him the questions, he shows up every single time. Every single time. Amen. So church, I just want us to continue being one accord. Say, God. God.
God.
Teach me.
Teach me.
Show me.
Show me.
Show me how.
Show me how.
To pray. Show me how. To love. Show me how to have joy. Show me how to live in peace. Teach me. Because I believe his word is true. And Jesus said that he was going to send a comforter to you. And that comforter was going to reveal his way. But we have to create the space for him to do it. Creating the space is getting out of our minds, our worldview, our life, our hurts, our pains and aches, and just simply saying and standing before God and saying, show me. Simply show me. I want to give you guys a moment because I said church is about encounter. I want whatever that is that's in your life, I'm going to give you the space to just talk with God. Can we do that? Okay, I'm going to just give you the space as the music ministers. This may be the only space some people have gotten that we dedicated to the Lord this week. My prayer is that this won't be, but I want you guys to understand that this may be the only space, the sweet space that someone has gotten to really be able to connect. So as you continue to talk to him, when you run out of things to say, just remember those around you. We give our mind to you. We give our fears to you. We give our anxiety to you. And although our flesh may feel depression, our flesh may feel anxiety, you've called us to overcome those things by resting in you. So God, we just come resting in you. God, I come to you asking you to remove the doubts in my life, asking you to remove the anxiousness in my life, asking you for direction and vision, that you move in and through me in a mighty way, God, that my pride will not overcome my spirit. God, allow me to walk in faith and step out in faith. For I know you will not put me to shame when I step out in faith for you. Shame is of the enemy. For I know shame is of the enemy. For I know when you look at me, you see a pure and spotless lamb. It's not my identity, it's not in shame. It's not my identity, it's not in shortcomings. But my identity is found in your word, where you say that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that your thoughts of me is like the grains of sand on the beach. That I am your glorious inheritance. What a privilege, God, that you would choose me to be your glorious inheritance. That you would choose me as a prized possession. That you would choose me as a treasure. When I fall short as a husband, when I fall short as a son, when I fall short as a friend, you still choose me as a treasure. So God, I lay down the idols in my life. I bring them to your feet, the idols of pride, the idols of fear, the idols of anxiety. I lay them at your feet so that there's nothing but a new creation that was dipped in the water and made new and called a new creation. A son in the kingdom. That's who I am. And that's how I walk. A pastor in your kingdom. That's how I walk, because that's who I am. One who has authority in your Holy Spirit to give sight to the blind and to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. One that encourages in people's faith. One that can exhort and prophesy. God, that's who I am. Trials, in the midst of the things that try to make me feel shame, I have to speak louder. I have to speak stronger. And I gotta live brighter. Because I'm a child of the King. I am the light of the world. We are the light of the world. It's not just reserved for me. It's not just reserved for those who are wise, because the Bible says those who even think that they are wise. He says allow them to become as fools so that they can become wise. It's all in him, not in me. But because of him, he told me to walk in authority, so I'm going to walk in authority. So this church will live and not die. This church will be filled. The pews will be filled, not because of the attraction of the music or the preacher, but because of the light of Jesus. But because of the power and the gifts that Jesus brings. That's what I prophesy over this church, that this will be a church of healing, that this will be a church of restoration, and it already is. Because that's what Jesus reveals to me. That's what he reveals to me. rest of it. I'm choosing the rest of it. I'm choosing the rest of choice. Life is about choices. It has been from the beginning. You can eat from the tree of life or the knowledge of good and evil. Which will you choose today? I choose life and life abundantly today, Jesus. For this church, we choose life and life abundantly today. It's not about the knowledge of men or the opinion of man, but we choose life and life abundantly. And we come to you naked, just as Adam and Eve did, stripping ourselves of the false identity that the enemy has tried to place on us. Removing ourselves from being a whitewashed tomb. It's trying to look pretty on the inside, but it's dying on the inside. Jesus, you're good. Thank you for coming into the room. Jesus, I don't always treat you like you're my best friend. But I want to let you know that you're the best friend I've ever had. Jesus, while you're here, I ask that you could just talk to each and every person. Each and every person that's here. Jesus, I ask you because you're my friend, just to soften every heart that's here. Even the person that may think that there's something weird in the atmosphere, God, I ask that your Holy Spirit reveals to him. That you reveal to him who you are. Sorry for the times that I acted like you're not there. And the services that we've ignored you. But I thank you for coming into the room. Jesus, teach us to go to that place that's beyond us. If there's anything that you need, and I mean this with full sincerity, with everything, with the most conviction I can say, if there's anything that you need, I want to let you know that Jesus is in the room. You don't have to ask the pastor to come and lay hands on you. I want you to just be able to ask Jesus personally for whatever you need. And I know it is biblical to have you come up and to lay hands, but I can feel him, his presence so thick right now in this place. If there's anything that you need, he said that you'll ask. He said if you ask, he'll give it to you. When you ask in his name. And even if I didn't feel it, I know. I'm just letting you know I do. Oh, God, you're good. He forgives you. He forgives you. That hardness that's afraid to show who you are in front of Him. There's no need. You don't have to hide anything in Him. In Him, there's fullness of love, joy, peace, and patience. He's so patient. He's so patient. He's so patient that He says He doesn't want to come back until everyone in every ear has been able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how patient He is. He doesn't want to come back and crack that sky. And we don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the seasons. And He calls us to be ready. And He calls us to connect with Him. So whether He was to crack the sky tomorrow or 40 years from now, now, what's wrong with us just being able to today to give it to Him? Give it all to Him. Not the pressure of fire and brimstone, but the pressure of knowing that we serve a good God. And a beautiful relationship is on the other side. I think some of us have been burned from churches who said that fire and brimstone is going to be awaiting for you if you don't accept Jesus today. But I want to go to another side. I want to say that there is life that's more abundant for you if you choose Jesus today. It's not a place to escape hell or this get out of the fire free card by choosing salvation and being ready for the rapture. But it's more of this thing of I want to enter this relationship with someone who will stick closer to me than a brother or a sister, that can love me more than a mother or a father, that can give more to me than a drug can, that can give more to me than an addiction can. That's why He bids us to come. Jesus says, if I will be lifted up, He will draw all men to Himself. Jesus, I lift you. Allow them to be drawn by You. Drawn by Your word. Drawn by Your people. You can choose Jesus today. You can choose a relationship today. It's a choice. Choose life. And if you've already chosen Jesus, choose life abundantly. There's a deeper relationship. He's a well that will never run dry. The more I grow with Him, the more I get to know Him, the less I figure out that I know. He's never ending. His love is never ending. The aspects of Him are never ending for us. Choose life abundantly today. For the sake of us being on one accord, for those who have been sitting, for those who can't stand, can we just all stand for a moment? For those who can't stand. I just want us to pray together. I just want us to pray together. Because He's in the room. Say, Lord. Lord. I choose You. I may not know what that looks like, but today I choose You. I choose Your Son who died on the cross for my sins so that I can be made new. Lord, teach me how to talk. To walk, how to renew my mind. Teach me how to walk in the light. everyone said that prayer today. I'm trusting and believing in God that everyone said that prayer. So now, children of light, children of glory, O Israel, the ones who lift up their praises, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Continue to renew your mind. You may be seated. I got 3 more minutes and then we're going to dismiss church, okay? So my brother continues to play because I just want to let you know that there is a foundation that we have. Kids church, you are dismissed for a little bit. I don't know how long we'll be here. Because I feel like the Spirit is saying that he's good and he's been speaking already. But there's a foundation that's being shaken right now. And I just left Florida and I realized something about their houses is that it's very rare, unless you got a lot of money, to have a basement in Florida. And the reason why is because the foundation is important in the sand and the way that the land is in Florida. If you were to have a basement in Florida, it's very likely that you would experience flooding that would mess up the foundation. So what they do, they don't dig deep and build a basement because the foundation is important. I believe we're in a time right now where our foundation is being shaken. But I want to let you guys know that our foundation is so important. It's so important. I'm going to grab a couple scriptures here. Actually, I'll just use my phone. I'm reading this book. It's called The Fourth Gospel, and it talks about progressive Christianity and how we interpret the Bible and how a lot of times in progressive Christianity, it can kind of debunk some of the things of the Bible, and there may be some subsects and all of that, but I'm not going to get into some theological debate with you guys today, with my brothers and sisters in Christ, but it started making me have some questions. How can my brothers and sisters that I have so much division in between what we believe? All of the different religions and all of the different structures. All of the different things that makes us divided, or what appears to be divided. And all of this information that we have and all of this time that has gone by, the 2,000 plus years since Jesus has died, there's just been one age of information of one age of information of another age of information. But we live now in the greatest age of information than ever before. Where you, if you have a belief system, you can find a belief system that fits your need, your wants, and your desires. That can identify with your lifestyle and what you want. And that's not why we come to this church. But what has happened, this has shaken people's foundation to they say, I don't even know what I believe. I don't know what is the truth. I don't even know the way that I should walk. I don't even know how to walk in the light. But I got a scripture for you that Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And this is not to shake our foundation, but our foundation is firm in him. And there's these two things that we have to understand. There's a difference between questioning your faith and having questions within your faith. There's a difference. Right now, people are questioning faith. their faith as if Jesus is not real, as if Jesus didn't die for their sins. But that's not why we come. All things have to lead back to him. In John chapter 14, verses 5 through 7, he says this: Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" It's a question. Jesus is talking with his disciples. Who's going to be the greatest of the kingdom? Who can sit on the right hand? Who's the Father? Can you show us the Father? Who is he? And Jesus is responding and responding. But they still were in relation. Just because they had questions, it never directed them away from who Jesus was. Jesus didn't change because they had questions. But this is what Jesus says. Jesus answered, "I am the way, in the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." If you have questions on who Jesus is, we are the body of Christ. When you've seen us operate in love, when you've seen us operate in peace, when you've seen us deny ourselves, you've seen Jesus in the Father, because he lives inside of us. Oh, y'all getting quiet on me. No amens on that one, huh? Why has the enemy allowed us to be so afraid to claim who we are and who lives in us? Let Jesus be in your place. If your foundation has been shaken, I'm going to skip through. I don't know if you got my slides or anything. Just skip through a couple of them. The Bible says that we can't always be tossed to and fro by the lofty words of man. But we have to be rooted in the foundation of Jesus. And when we pray, believe. When we pray, believe. When you pray, believe. When you walk, walk as a believer so that people can see who you are. People can see who Jesus is. They can see that you are a light, that you're not somebody, although your foundation has been shaken, it's strong. So if you want your foundation to be strong, you first have to deny yourself. Matthew 16, 24, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" If you want your foundation to be strong as a child of God, you have to learn to deny yourself. That's every day. That's every single day. If Jesus had to do it, we have to do it. What did we see in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus says, "Lord, if this cup can pass from me, please do it. But God, not my will be done. Let your will be done." Jesus had to deny himself to the Father. What makes us think that we don't have to deny ourselves every single day? Every single day, renew on our minds in him. We have to deny him. We have to take up our cross in church. I know that we say his burden is light and his yoke is easy, but in our mind, it's a hard time sometimes. It's a hard thing. He says, but to take up your cross. He understands that it's hard, but he's the one that's going to comfort you. Take up your cross. Do you understand that this means that you're going to suffocate to death and your body is going to be filled up with your own fluids and you will die? Take up your own cross, this gruesome death. When your flesh is dying, it hurts. When your flesh is dying, it wants to say, "This hurts so bad." But remember, you're doing it for the cost of being connected with Jesus and to follow him, not to be shaken. So when somebody gives you instruction, or when someone is loving you and giving you truth, and it's a hard truth, and you've gone to the word, and you believe in that thing, don't run away from it, but allow yourself to understand that. Take up the cross that is hard and say, "Not my will be done, Lord, but yours be done." And after we deny ourselves, we have, church, we have. It's a non-negotiable. We have to love. It's a non-negotiable. He actually says that you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. You'll know his children by their love. If you have all the things in the world, but you don't have love, you have nothing. If your life doesn't reflect these things, I will say it again, and I would preach it every Sunday. 1 Corinthians, starting with chapter 13, starting with verse 12. Put on then, as God has chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with... I'm sorry, this is Colossians. Sorry, Colossians 3, chapter 12, verse 17. They're like, that's not the love chapter. So starting with verses 12 through 17, Colossians 3. This is what you have. This is what your life has to look like so that people understand that your foundation is strong and in Jesus. There's no way around it, church. There's no other way around it of being God's chosen unless you bear your cross and reflect these things. Isn't it so good that God demands us to love in order to be his child? How good is that? I won't let you, you can't even be that. If you walk in darkness and you call yourself my child, you are a liar. That's the word of God. If you're grumbling and complaining and showing hate and living out of envy and living out of jealousy and you say that you're a son of God, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't care how progressive you are, you're a liar. But the good thing is that God is saying we're the church, we're the light, and what he tells us to do first is deny ourselves and then walk in love. And his grace and mercy is sufficient for the liars. And he says, come on over. If that's you today and you've been a liar, guess what? It's okay, because his grace and mercy is good. It's like, Pastor, that's hard. You call me a liar. It's okay, because he died for liars. He just come on to the other side in love. Put on then, as God has chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. Bearing with, you can be as irritated, you can be as annoyed, you can be as whatever it is, but God says, I'm calling you into that to love them and bear with them one another's burdens. If one of you has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. If you have an ought against a brother or sister, guess what you should do in love? Go to them. Maybe you'll develop an understanding from their perspective, actually how they're trying to love you other than trying to persecute you. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let what? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If we are his children and we want direction, I love that we're in an age of information, but why can't we deny ourselves, be drawn to Jesus and say, Jesus, reveal your word to me. Jesus, reveal your word to me. Is Jesus so far away that we can't ask him to reveal? If we call ourselves Christians and believe that Jesus died to send us a comforter in the Holy Spirit, do we not believe that the Holy Spirit will reveal in his word? I dare you to deny yourself and to start reading the Bible and say, God, forget my interpretation, but I want you to lead me through this word. If you can barely see and you got to put readers on, listen to the Bible app. Because these people had mantras and doctrines that they had to listen to for the words to be written on the tablets of their heart. And we have more resources than them. So whether you got to listen or whether you have to read it, you have to dwell in Christ and dwell in his word, because his word is true. Because the word put on flesh and the flesh was Jesus. But let's go back. Jesus was the word, and the word is still valid today. It doesn't need to change and it won't change. The valid is still good. It's still true. It's the way. It's the truth. And it's the life. Just ask Jesus to reveal it to you. You don't need to go to another person. It's good to come together with your brothers and sisters. But ask Jesus to reveal it to you so that when your foundation is being shaken, you say, you know what? That sounds a little off to me, but I'm going to go to the Word and I'll get back to you. If you don't know, you don't know, but it's okay. But Lord, I've already denied myself and I'm walking in love, so I'm still going to be the light of the world. But if I don't know, I'm just going to ask Jesus to reveal it to me in His Word. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient and it's kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It doesn't insist on its own way. Lord, I don't know if that was you that was actually talking. And we start to rationalize things. I love it when people tell me, like, when you leave from here, there's going to be a lot of million things that's going to come into your mind. When I come into counsel with wisdom, my brothers, when I would talk to Tom, I would realize when he would tell me things, or when I talk to my brother and they tell me hard things, what would start happening is I would walk out and I would start to rationalize all the things that I still wanted to do. And I would just rationalize, and then it would be like I totally forgot, and it went one in one ear and out the other. So I started taking this practice. Don't forget this moment in the truth that was told to you today, because God loves it when we walk in the truth and when we put ourselves in communities that reflect the Word of God and we allow ourselves to live in truth and stop rationalizing away the truth that was told to us. Love does not demand its own way. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I remember when I used to operate like a child. Some of us are children in the faith. And that's okay. But God is saying, as I reveal your childish ways, it's time for you now to grow up and to act like a man and act like a woman. That you are on who I've called you to be. Walk as the light. Don't live your life how you want to live it. That's how a child acts. But live how I called you to do it. Live with kindness and humility. With patience, forbearing with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what He's calling us to. Deny yourself. Learn to love. And I love this one. I love this point. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Have you ever had a parent that said, watch your mouth? You knew it was serious when your mom said, watch your mouth. I think now more than ever, Jesus is saying, watch your mouth. Because we don't understand, we live in a season of strife. What is strife? Vigorous or bitter conflict, discord or antagonism, a quarrel, a struggle, or a clash. We're questioning our beliefs so much to where it just turns into where we're having these conversations just to have conversations so we can prove our side over another. We're forgetting about denying ourselves. We're forgetting about the characteristics of love, but we just want to live our life and prove our points. Without even doing the first two things that He's asking us to do, deny ourselves, pick up our cross, follow Him into love. Understand the conversations that you're having. Understand the communities and the conversations that you're having. If it's not leading to Jesus, if it's not leading to love, if it's not leaving the peace, step out of that situation. Y'all can have it. I gotta be the light of the world. I can't be in this. I'm not debating on Fox and CNN and all the other news channels, but I'm trying to deny myself and get to somebody who needs the light and the love of Jesus. I'm trying to get to somebody and show some kindness. I'm trying to get to somebody and forbear with them on their troubles. That's how we walk in the light. That's how we strengthen our foundation. Not making excuses for just doing what we want to do. And having conversation just to have conversation. That's what Paul says. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You see it again. Along those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. Why are so many Christians questioning their faith? Because we're in so many foolish, arrogant controversies. Our minds are so caught up with the things of the world, we are forgetting to look to Jesus and renew our minds in Him. And we're wondering why we aren't walking as the light. His mercy is still good for you if that's you today. His grace is still good for you. But just walk in the light. Remove yourself from those controversies. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Oh my God. Have you ever had to endure evil before? Some of us can't even get close enough to evil to endure it or recognize the evil in our life. But have you been close enough to somebody that you know that their life is so far away from Christ that you say, you know what, brother, I want to love on you today. Jesus, this is my testimony. This is how Jesus changed my life. Able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth that's in the foundation, and they may come to their sense and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Let's call it what it is. Satan is the one who wants us to be in debate. Satan is the one who wants us to be in quarrels. Satan is the one who wants us to be divided. But he's saying, if you love somebody, if you show kindness to somebody, if you show humility to somebody, if you walk in peace and you walk in righteousness and you deny yourself and you learn to love and you read his word and you ask him for revelation, he says your life will then maybe convince that person to come out of the devil's snare that has been wrapping up their life. That's what he's calling us to. The consistency of love and truth in the foundation. So live in truth. Seek truth. 2 Timothy 15, I think it's 2 and 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but one that can rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. Study can be from a book. A study can be of what you do amongst your brothers and sisters. But it has to be a reflection of his word so that you can rightly divide the truth and what's not. If you don't understand, you feel like your foundation is being shaken, get with some people that's discussing the word. Get with some people that's asking God to give them revelation of his word. Walk with some people. And guess what? If they're not walking in peace, if you feel like drama's always around and they're always stirring up drama and they're stirring up jealousy, maybe that's not the person you need to have the conversation with. You need to get with some people that's going to edify your light, that's going to allow it to shine brightly. Get away from the controversies and the quarrels of the Jesus of this or the Jesus of that, and just ask him because he's there. He's still on the earth. He's still walking. He's still talking. Get with the people who believe that. And you could call that whatever you want to ism, but call it right, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe if I ask him to reveal himself and I reflect what his word is saying, that he creates a community that is his church, that is his body. Who wants to be a part of a body like that? I do. What does it mean to deny myself? It means when a brother or sister hurts me, that I choose to forgive them. Because that's what Jesus did. It means when someone calls me out my name or demeans me, I can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because that's what Jesus did. When people call me crazy, or when people think that I'm this radical Christian because of my love. I can say that I don't live for man's opinion or their thoughts of me, but I will live by the word of God and every word that's in it. I don't need to be sustained by what the world can give me, turn this stone into bread. No, I need to live by his word and not your words, the one who's trying to hurt me. That's what it means to deny yourself. Because Jesus could have took the devil up on all of his offers. He could have took over the kingdom. He could have turned the rock into bread. He could have jumped off the cliff and the angels would have caught him and he probably would have been air surfing. But he did not, because he denied himself. Church, that's us. When you see Jesus, you say, that's me. And you walk in that and you believe in that and you walk in that faith. Because why would he say even greater things that you would do? Why would Jesus say that? There has to be a process, right? There has to be a way that I believe in him, right? Jesus told me, he says, listen, if you deny yourself, if you pick up your cross and you walk with me, there's going to be even greater things that you'll be able to do. Amen? I want to be, we are, not I want to be, I'm sorry. The Lord has taken that of I want to be. I am, we are the church that can do greater things. It's who we are. It's who we are. Let's all stand. God, I thank you for the foundation that we find in Jesus. And I thank you for your word that can withstand every trial and every test. And God, when it comes to the questions of interpretation, I ask that your Holy Spirit just starts to reveal to our brothers and sisters within this church what your Spirit wants to reveal in our hearts. God, I pray for a hedge of protection around our minds and hearts that we do not fall into quarrelsome and ignorant controversies and conversations that don't go anywhere, that actually remove us further away from you. But God, I ask that we have sweet communion and break bread together in remembrance of who you are and who you sacrifice. When you sacrifice yourself to be, you did it for us so that we can live a life and have abundance in that life. Teach us how to walk in that light. Teach us how to walk in that authority. Help us live a life like 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, Colossians 3, 12 through 17, Matthew 12, 24. And when we walk out of here today, let us not rationalize you away, but simply walk in who you've called us to be in this moment. What you've taught us today in this moment, let's just walk in that authority and in that light. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Go and walk in the light, church, for you are the light. Amen. Sorry, Jen has, I get so caught up, I forget about announcements every time.
Quickly, just remind everybody that today, immediately following service, we want to take a few minutes. It's always awkward doing it like this. but we want to recognize Rihanna and Luke Sasser today and the blessing of their marriage. They got married back in December, and with Christmas time and the holidays and winter and that nasty COVID beast, we finally are going to take some time to recognize them today. So please stay, have a piece of cake, wish them well. Pay attention to your bulletin for the rest. Thanks.